Yeah. Here he comes. You ought to sit over where I sit and watch Victor have fun playing that instrument. Amen. Thank you, Victor. You encourage me every Sunday. I sit there and I wonder, how in the world does he do that? But he does. Hallelujah. Take your Bible, Romans 16. We begin reading in verse 25 in just a moment. And I'm going to ask you to read it with me out loud. We come to the end of this great epistle. I think it's the greatest theological work in all the Word of God, but then every one of them are good. And we find God's book. And Romans, there's just really nothing like it, as he gives us our truth for every moment of our life from beginning to end. We come to this last stone that paving the road to the book of Romans, and we come to this benediction that Paul gives us. As I said last week, he begins with all of those names, sending greetings, and then, of course, he had a stout word for us in 17 through 20, and then some other names, and then he comes to the benediction, and we are there today. So I'm going to ask you to stand, and as you rise, I want you to read it out loud with me. I'll be reading from the New American Standard. We'll all read from that. It'll be up on the screen, and you can read from there, or, of course, from the book that you have there in your hand, or from a copy that's always provided there in the pew rack in front of you. There's a Bible there that you can use. So we're in Romans 16. We begin in verse 25, 26, and 27. You read aloud with me as I begin. This now is the word of our great God. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept secret for long ages past, but now is manifested, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, has been made known to all the nations, leading to obedience of faith. To the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, be the glory forever. Amen. He begins in verse 25, now to him who is able. And then he tells us some things about God's ability and gets to verse 27, and that one that is able is the only wise God. He's through Christ. And to him alone, be glory. Glory. Doxa is the word. We sing the doxology right out of this. Doxa. Just remain standing just a moment. Just before I pray and ask you to be seated. In the late 1600s, the hymn writer Thomas Ken, K-E-N, he had two first names, always said Thomas and Ken. Thomas Ken was a hymn writer. The church didn't sing hymns in the 1600s. They sang the Psalter. That's the Psalms. You came to church, you heard the Bible preached, and the only song you would sing would be a psalm. You sing the Psalms, all 150. Not every Sunday, but I mean, they'd pick from the 150. Well, Thomas Ken began to write hymns. There are many people today who say, oh, I wish we could, you know, just sing the hymns again. Can you imagine being the first guy when all you did was sing the Psalms that came in and said, well, this morning we're not going to sing the Bible. We're going to sing this hymn that a man wrote. He probably was stoned and thrown on a... But Thomas Ken was a college chaplain. He went to school. After graduation, they hired him to be the chaplain to the boys at this college in England. And he began to write hymns. And he gave these hymns to the boys. He said, here's a hymn for the morning, a hymn for the evening, and then he wrote a third hymn, which was the hymn for midnight, just in case they couldn't go to sleep. He gave them songs to sing. The first one in the morning had 13 stanzas. 13. The evening hymn and the midnight hymn all ended the same way with the song that we all know. It's called the doxology. If you look up Thomas Ken in your hymnal that's right there in front of you, that blue book, you'll find four hymns in our book that he wrote, and every one of them, the last stanza, is the doxology. One has five stanzas, the last one, praise God to whom all blessings. You don't know it? It's right up here on the screen. See it right here? You see it. Here it comes. Yeah. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. That's you. You're a creature here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Thomas Kinn. Then he got a promotion. He became the chaplain to the King of England. He served two kings. The second king was a womanizer. He had ladies come. And one night he asked the chaplain to allow one of his extra wives to sleep in the chaplain's quarters. To which chaplain Thomas Kinn said, "Not for the whole kingdom would I allow the king to do that." Well, that didn't sit well. Some years passed, and he wound up, because of what he wrote, imprisoned for his faith. Before he died, he was loosed from prison. But Thomas Kinn wrote and said, "I could hear men dying for the gospel in the prison where I was housed, as they would slay them because they would not deny Jesus as the Christ, and they went away from the Church of England to become what we call a protester or a Protestant." And Thomas Kinn gave us that word, that hymn that we call the stanza, the doxology. The word doxa, glory, means light. It means heavy weight. There is no one heavier than God. He is the ultimate. It's in this passage that Paul says, "To God be all glory." So this morning, while I preach for just a few minutes, if you hear something you like, you just shout out, not amen, you shout glory. So just practice. If I say Jesus rose from the dead, you'd say glory. Yeah, that's it right there. You just say glory. And we're going to look at the glory, 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 as I've entitled this message, that came from the heart of God, the pen of Paul, and the spirit of Thomas Kinn. Father, get glory these next moments. Give me a tongue to speak. Give us all ears to hear. Draw the saved up closer. And, oh God, redeem the lost in this service. In Jesus' name, glory. You be seated. Psalm 96, verses 7 and 8, the psalmist says, "Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength." Verse 8, ascribe, give, ascribe to the Lord the glory, the doxa of His name, and bring an offering and come into His courts. Every time you give your offering, you're giving glory to God. Come into His presence. Ascribe to His name. Not your name, not our name. Ascribe to His name glory. Glory forever to God, as Paul said. Amen. Well, I want us to look at glory for just a moment or two this morning. First of all, I want you to see with me that God is glory. He is already glorious. Psalm 19 and verse 1 says, "The heavens are telling of the glory of God." It's the heavens. The heavens are telling of the glory of God. Their expanse is declaring the works of God's hands. Every morning you look up and you see the sunrise, it's glory. When you go out and see that moon that is there, it's glory. It's God's hand. He did that. God's glory is intrinsic. It is naturally His. It belongs to Him. What wet is to water and blue is to sky and hot is to fire, glory is to God. It's just intrinsic. It's who He is, and He will not share His glory with another. He alone is worthy. He is the glorious one. It's the creation, the heavens, that first of all declare His glory. That word glory meaning light, of course, and heaviness, and that is just beyond what we can understand. Do you know, before the sun ever was, there was glory. And one day the sun will be no more. And those that are redeemed will live in a place where there's never night, but it's all light. Not from the sun in the sky, but from the S-O-N, the Son of God, who is the glory of God. We're going to a place where it is glory, 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 glory. That's why when you get there, you'll have a different kind of body. What kind of? You get a glorified body. Why? This body couldn't stand heaven. This body has to sleep, but there'll be no night over there. Why? Because of glory. The glory of God. You get a glorified body. Hallelujah. I can't wait. I saw the bone doctor out here this morning. I came in. He said, "How you doing?" I said, "Well, this knee right here is not too good." I'm headed somewhere where they all work fine. You don't have to have anything replaced. Amen. It's a glorified body. You say, "Well, what's that like?" I don't know. Never been there. But you never sleep. There's no night. It's just a place of glory. How far is it to the sun? One of you college students, how far is it to the sun? Really far. That'll get you an F on a test, all right? 93 million miles. 93 million miles. Do you know, if you took a plane from Atlanta going 600 miles an hour, it'd take you 200 years to get there. If you drove, yeah, there's no highway. But you couldn't get there because you'd be burnt to a crisp. Do you know God put that ball of fire just right so that we don't freeze to death and we don't burn up? Glory. Amen. Now, they don't believe that in Maine today where they've got a snowstorm a-coming, baby. I'm telling you, it is cold up there. Boy, isn't it good to live in fake Florida today? Hallelujah. Amen. It's good to be right here, but our days are coming. It'll be so hot the 4th of July, my soul. You'll wish you was in Maine. That's why we get snowbirds, all right? They come and go, but some of us just stay through it all. He made it just right. And He is glorious. God is glorious. Secondly, I want you to know that God deserves glory. We need to give Him glory, but He just deserves glory. Why does He deserve the glory? Well, let me give you three reasons why. There are many, many others, but three. First of all, it's creation. We've just been talking about it. Genesis 1:3 said that God called light out of darkness. You can't do that. Only God can call light out of darkness. And He caused the great creation. Friend, you are here not by chance. You're not here by some big bang explosion. You are here by the voice and the creative power and the Word of God who said, "Let it be." And it was. Glory unto God. He deserves glory because of creation, but He deserves glory because of redemption. Our text says, "Now to Him who is able to establish you according to His to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ." That's it. It's the gospel. That is why God deserves glory. Not only creation, but redemption. What was it? We'll fast forward here to Christmas after Easter. We'll run through the summer and then December will come. We'll get to Christmas and we'll have a manger and we'll all know that verse when we get to Luke chapter 2. And the angels, what did they sing? Glory to God in the highest. Why did they sing? Because they saw Christ. And it's in the face of Jesus. Ah, yes, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 6. That God said, "Light shall shine out of darkness, and He is the one who is shown into the hearts to give light to the knowledge." Look at this. The knowledge of the glory of God. And where do you find? In the face of Jesus. The glory of God is found in the face of Jesus. They saw it in the baby. Angels saw it. Then mankind saw it. Then verse 25 and 6 says, this mystery which has been kept safe, secret, long ages past has now been manifested. Now listen to me, a mystery, you hear this word in the Bible a lot, the mysterion. A mystery is not, ooh, all right? That's, no. The mystery of Scripture is something that is kept and then is revealed in fullness. The Old Testament kept this promise through all the prophecies that there was a Redeemer coming. And at Calvary, in the life of Christ, we saw the mystery in full revelation. And next Sunday, in the fullness of revelation, when He stepped forth out of the grave. And I'm going to preach on the first words of the resurrected Christ next Sunday. Never preached this before. Looking forward to whatever it is I got to say. What Jesus said, the first words we're going to talk about. We see the glory of God. For creation, He deserves glory. For redemption, He deserves glory. And for revelation, oh, the revelation, He deserves glory. Look in verse 26. But this is manifest by the, what? The Scriptures of the prophets, according to the command of the eternal God that He made known to all nations, leading to obedience and faith. Friend, I'm holding right. This is a glory book. Yes. You want to know the glory of God? Get in this book. We're reading through Matthew right now. Did you read this morning? Yeah. Amen. You reading the King's voice? I'm reading Matthew 24. Oh, tomorrow's Matthew 25. Ooh. That's a tough chapter. That's Gene Ray's chapter. Miss Gene. Oh, Lord. She came to me and said, Pastor, you ever read Matthew 25? I said, oh, yeah. She said, you act like you hadn't read it. So she said, we need to be doing for the least of these around here. I said, we're not doing enough. We need to do more. That's why we have the ministry village at Olive right now. It's because Jean Ray made me do it. She held me down until God beat me to death. And said, we got to do this. How we don't do it perfectly. We don't do it enough. But we tried to give clothes to those that don't have them, food to those that are hungry, helping those that are drug addiction. That's why we do the ministry village. It's because of Matthew 25. How do you find that? It's the glory book. It's the glory book. He deserves glory because of creation, because of redemption, and because of revelation in His glory book. Not another book like this book. No other book. Don't let anyone ever tell you that this is not the Word of God. Okay, what did they say? You stick with this book. When I'm dead and gone, you stay with this book. When your mom and daddy's dead and gone, believe that book. It's the glory book. He deserves glory. But thirdly, we give Him glory. How do we give Him glory? Well, He won't give His glory to anyone, but how do we shine glory to Him? There are at least five ways that I find in Scripture. I'm sure there are many, many others, and I know some others, but I just want to give you my top five ways that we give glory unto God. So, jot these down. Here we go. Number one, by bearing fruit, you give glory to God. John 15 and verse number 8 says, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. You bear fruit. How do you bear fruit? He is the vine, we are the branches. The fruit just hangs on us. He is the fruit producer. But we bear fruit when we stay in the vine, and then the power of God through the Spirit causes fruit to come. Fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace. Fruit of souls, yeah, fruit of faithfulness. You should be bearing fruit. When you bear fruit, you give glory to God. We have many people in this church that bear fruit. Hallelujah. But we have others. They don't bear fruit. They just inspect fruit. They're not fruit bearers. They're fruit inspectors. Oh, they're here every Sunday. Yeah. That service a little too long. Heat wasn't right. Too cold, too hot. Song, music's too loud. Preacher didn't get deep enough. Preacher went too long. They're just fruit inspectors. pictures. Never satisfied, just inspecting fruit. Yeah, they're there. They're fruit consumers in this church. They never bear fruit, but they eat. They won't work in preschool, but bless God, they want you to have somebody to take care of their children. They won't teach a class, but you better have somebody to teach a class for them. They're not going to help in the parking lot, but you better have somebody there to help them. They're just fruit consumers. God's not glorified by that. He's glorified by fruit bearing. Amen. They're fruit loops in this church. They're crazy. They're nuts. Dr. Passmore was in the early service. He's not here. He told me one time, he said, "Preacher, I want to tell you something about this church." He said, "There's some crazy people that come." I said, "Say what?" He said, "You're the brightest light in the city, and the brightest light always attracts the most bugs." He's not wrong. Thank God. Friend, if you haven't got any Fruit Loops in the church, you're probably not standing for anything. Yes, sir. But our job's not to be crazy or bear fruit or just eat. Our job is to bear fruit. We're to be fruit bearers, not just inspectors and consumers. When you bear fruit, you glorify God. Jesus said, "This is how my Father's glory." Number two, you give glory to God by obedience. 2 Corinthians 9:13. When you obey God, because of this proof given by this ministry, we will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Jesus Christ and for the liberality of the contribution that you give to all of them. You see, when you obey God, you glorify. This individual was baptized, was obeying God. If you know you ought to be baptized and you've not been baptized, you're disobeying God. You're not glorifying God. If you want to give glory to God, do what you know God calls you to do. And when God speaks, obey. In my prayer time this morning, God told me. He spoke into my heart. I believe I heard Him. It's not contrary to the Word of God. I heard it. And He said, "Do this right here." I said, "God, I don't want to." God's direction is not up for vote. You can disobey, and I have. But this morning I decided to do what God told me to do, and it's just a simple thing, but I did what I understood. I didn't understand what I should, but I understood it was what God told me to do. And I was just trying to be obedient. And let me tell you, friend, when you walk in obedience, you'll glorify God. You want to give Him glory? Then find what He wants you to do and do it. If you've never joined this church, you're supposed to do it, do it. I had a couple this morning came, took me by the hands. I was walking in this morning, said, "Pastor, we're going to the new members class, then we're going in, join the church." I said, "Glory to God, I'll preach quicker." Amen. They're just obeying God. You come today and obey the Lord. What God tells you to do to forgive a brother or sister that's wronged you, you're glorifying God. Amen. Bear fruit. Be obedient. Suffer for Christ. You'll give Him glory. 1 Peter 4 and verse 16, "But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name." You may lose a job for Christ. You may suffer shame. Someone may make fun. They may lie about you. Not many people dying in our country, but in many countries they're dying for the gospel. Thomas Kuhn, that wrote the doxology, suffered deeply for the gospel. You suffer as a Christ follower, you give Him glory. Yes, sir. Now, number four, your good works glorify God. Matthew 5:16, Jesus, these are the words of our Lord. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. When you just simply do good works, when you do the right thing, you give glory to God. You know your good works. God told you to love a brother, love them. It's good works. Yesterday we had to banquet, and I looked around, deacons were just everywhere swarming, cleaning, and their wives, and getting tabled. They were just doing good works. Nobody's keeping a scorecard except the Lord God. He said, these good works glorify me. Amen. It may be small, maybe large, but when you let your light shine, you glorify God. And number five is life transformation. When your life is transformed. Now, don't miss this. Everybody get this verse. Look in your Bible, 2 Corinthians 3:18. I think it's the most powerful and misunderstood text in all the Word of God. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. Now, watch this. Into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. How is your life transformed? Your life is transformed when God saves you. But, friend, He's not finished changing you yet. The sanctification process is when you see the glory of God and it reflects back in. It's like you're looking in a mirror and you say, oh, I need to fix that. Boom. And then you go a little farther and you see the glory of God in a mirror. Boom. And then you see the glory. And you see it's from glory to 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 glory. Every time you touch glory, if you receive it, it changes your life and makes you more like Jesus than you were the day before. But if you're just out for your own self, you're getting more and more like the world rather than more and more like Jesus. But when you see the glory book and hear the truth taught and you respond to it in obedience, God changes you. Some of you don't drink alcohol or get drunk or smoke marijuana, but you cuss. And friend, till you get under the glory spout, you're going to have that problem. Yeah. Others of you don't cuss, but you get drunk. You need to get under the glory spout so you quit doing that. Some of y'all mean you hate people. Well, I'm telling you, you need to quit it. And you say, I can't. I know you can't. But if you'll come to the glory, you can. Because you'll be transformed, and when you allow the glory of God to touch your life and you do in His power what you ought to do, He gets glory. I walk around my circle over there and I run into people. I got in a big old truck, came up behind me the other morning. I heard him rumbling. I kind of step off on the grass. He slowed down, the window came down, and I heard it, War Eagle! He's a big Auburn fan. We big buddies. After the first basketball game, he didn't drive by. But yeah, we have fun with each other. And he stopped and he said, Pastor, he said, God's been dealing with my heart. He said, I don't ever get drunk anymore. I said, well, praise the Lord. He said, but I got, and he named some other problem. He said, I'm really struggling. Would you pray for me? I think he expected me to just say yes and drive on. I said, yeah, cut that thing off. So I just jumped up there on the cab, laid hands on him, prayed. Asked for the glory of God to touch him. About 2 days later, he came driving up my driveway. He's a big fisherman. He brought fresh fish. Amen. Fish tacos. I was walking yesterday. I walked by, saw his truck. I walked in and said, hey, how's it going? He said, I'm doing well, Pastor, doing well. Thank you. I said, I'm praying. And let me tell you, friend, there are things in our lives that only the glory of God can touch and deal with. Some of them are substance abuse, but some of it, I've never had problems with substance abuse. I've never been drunk a day in my life. I took one drink, I hated it. It made me puke. I don't want none of that. When I was growing up, everybody smoked marijuana. I mean, if you just didn't do it, you were just out. Well, I never did. I smelled it. I can still smell it, but I've never taken it. So, oh, you must be holy. Oh, as I tell you, if you knew what was in my heart, you'd never come back and hear me preach. And as I often say, if I knew what was in yours, I wouldn't let you in, okay? But it's just the glory of God. And when you get under the glory, you come to God's glory, and when you obey, then God's glory touches you, and you're made different. What is it Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and come short of the what? The glory of God. You see, friend, you're lost when you don't have the glory of God. You've all sinned. I've sinned. We've all done it. And we fall short of the glory. But then Jesus came and he stoops and saves. And that's glorious. He cast your sin away. Glory. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Glory. You're going to heaven when you die. Glory. Oh, we had the widow's banquet yesterday. You know, there are over 300 widows in our church. We added one on Friday. Sweet 62-year-old lady. John Dubois and I went to visit her Friday. Big number. We had this banquet. Deacons and their wives do that. And I had a sweet lady, former missionary, that spoke. My goodness, what a message. Powerful. She's a widow. I mean, there she was, she and her husband serving God, and he died. Had a heart attack. Now she's back here raising her kids alone. Oh, she encouraged us. In Bonnie Wooten, she was singing. She's singing all these old songs about heaven and God will get you through and bring it in the sheep was the last one. And I'm sitting back there and, man, I'm just a-crying. I was glad I was in the back. I was wiping my eyes and my wife looks over at me. She said, what's wrong with you? I said, well, this story and these old songs make me miss my mama. Is that all right? Then she started crying. I said, what's wrong with you? We laughed together. Heaven, my Lord, glory. You going? Well, we got done with the widow's banquet and I had to drive to Bruton to do a wedding. Young girl had gotten saved, she and her husband, boyfriend, when we do the weddings. I went up there out in the middle of a pasture and this beautiful house. And so we got ready and I'm standing at the front and under this little grass thing, and here she came. Gorgeous. I mean, absolutely. Just gorgeous. Tall, beautiful. I've never seen an ugly bride. No. I had a close call or two, but I never... I never seen an ugly bride. Yeah. Here she came. Now I did the deal and said you can kiss her. And my Lord, he didn't deserve that, I guarantee you. And they was walking out. My mind kept going back to that widow's banquet and I reached out my handkerchief again. And I said to myself, my mama looks better than that. Yes, she does. That girl's beautiful. She walk in here this morning, wouldn't everybody agree with me? I mean, she's 10 plus. But my mama has a glorified body. I'm going there. You going there?
Well, glory, yes. Give him glory, yeah. That's what we're to do. Glory, 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 somebody touch me. Yeah, that's what we used to sing that old song. Glory, 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 somebody touch me. Glory, 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 somebody touch me. Then we'd sing, to God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son. Oh, my Lord, we just sing about glory. My friend, if you've never known the touch of glory in your life, you need to repent. And as the old country preacher where I grew up, you say, you need to get under the spout where the glory comes out. That's where you need to get. You need to get right with Holy God. And it'll be glory. I listened to a guy this weekend that shared. He said, I was telling a friend of mine how God had saved me. And he said, I knew he saved you. What I want to know is, how did he change you? Well, I'm going to tell you how he changed him by glory. The glory of God will burn everything out of you that's not obedience and put everything into you that is the power of God. You just got to get to glory. Get to the glory book. Get to the glory festival, which is the church. And one day, we're going up to glory. Amen. And friend, if your name's not written in the glory book of eternal life, you need to come this morning and get saved. If you're here today, you've never been baptized like this one was baptized and some others in the early service, that one in early service, you need to come and say, I'm here, I'm ready. Say, Pastor, can I be baptized? You can be baptized tonight. Good Friday, Easter Sunday. Well, when you're ready, pick a day. We got water. I had a young preacher call me a while back. He said, we had baptism planned today, and we got to the church, and the heater was off. What are we going to do? I said, they'll never forget it. Amen. Baptize them cold and warm them up in Jesus. That's what you do. Amen. Why, Lord, have mercy. Nobody ever died getting baptized. Not here. You come to Jesus to get right with God. Oh, we need the glory. Now unto him who is able be all glory now and forevermore, world without end. Amen and amen. Let the church say glory.